Hi, everybody. This is Susan Skye. I'd like to just tell you how we're going to use the hour. I'm going to talk a little bit before we start the actual demo part. Our topic is reclaiming our inner orphans, and I would just like to say a little bit about what an inner orphan is, and then I will be doing a demo with Colleen. And Colleen, you want to say hi?
Hi. I'm sitting here in Columbus, Ohio, waiting to do a process with Susan.
Right. I know. Modern technology, it's wonderful.
Yes.
I'm sitting in the suburbs of Portland, Oregon, and I know many of you are all over the place, so you're all very welcome. So we'll do the demo, and you know, demos are unique and they're always different, so it's hard to predict exactly how long it will take. But if it's at all possible, we'll end maybe 10 minutes or so before the hour is up. And there might be some time for any of you who would like to share what is happening for you after hearing the demo. And then there'll be a couple of brief announcements at the very end. So that's the agenda. So I'm going to jump right in. So I think the first question is, what is an inner orphan? And I'd like to start approaching that by saying that most of us refer to ourselves as I. And when I ask people about that I usually get back that people think there's just one I. And I would like to say that is not actually probably even physiologically accurate. Of course, we are ultimately one entity. But the I can be referring to many different parts of us. So there's the conscious part of each of us, that's the part of me that's right now talking and tracking the words and the thoughts and so on. But there are other parts of us. It's like I'm not just somebody who teaches or somebody who works in a connected way to produce inner change. But I also have a side that likes to sail and scuba dive. That's kind of an adventurer. And I have another side, another part of me that likes to do art. And I won't go any on, I think you get the general idea. And when I don't know my different parts or give those parts some time and attention, because they have different needs. My scuba diving self has very different needs from my teaching self. So the point here is we are persons of many parts. And one of my jokes over the years has been, I am my favorite multiple personality, referring to those parts. Most of us also have, so the parts I've named so far are parts that are not they're natural. They're part of everybody, has different, you know, particular parts with varying needs. But then there are parts that arise out of pain. Born of pain, born of trauma, these are the parts that we are not conscious of usually as a part. And we're conscious that we may be in emotional pain, but we're not really connecting that to any specific aspect of ourselves. And these parts are the parts I'm referring to as our inner orphans. Now, I could spend a chunk of time giving each of you an explanation for where these parts live, but we don't have time for that today. So if that's of interest to you, there's many ways you can follow up on this. Let it be said that these parts are isolated. They are not integrated into the whole of the brain. Remember, the brain is not just what's in your head, but that part in the skull plus your entire nervous system. So they live not in the place where memory normally lives in our brain. They are disconnected from that, and therefore, and they're not in the conscious part of our brain. So the conscious part very often doesn't even know they're there. So that's the first basic point. They live in the dark part of the limbic part of the brain. That's the inner part that governs emotion and survival, amongst many other things. But they are cut off from our knowing brain, the prefrontal cortex, the cortical part of the brain. So if these parts were conceived out of pain and suffering, neglect or abuse, isolation and aloneness, then they live in a timeless space of pain. Because they're not properly integrated into the brain, they have no way of knowing that the trauma that birthed them is over. And when they are activated and they get triggered by something that they see, hear, smell, experience, they can come online. The limbic system lights up, and it actually can hijack your cortex. So those of us with perfectly beautiful hearts and souls may find ourselves suddenly in angry outbursts or making sarcastic remarks at people, or we may, from one minute to the next, suddenly freeze when somebody asks us to speak, say, in a public place, and all of a sudden we lose our words or we get confused. So that is one way that isolated orphan parts of our memory, this is technically called implicit memory. It means that it's below the conscious level. and these parts, I'm just going to say a couple more words about the impact that these parts have when they get re-triggered. They often hold beliefs about themselves that we tend to think of as negative core beliefs. Actually, they're little children's beliefs most of the time. But nobody has ever connected with them to say, hey, you know, there's some other possibilities here. And unclaimed disconnected parts can also have long-term chronic effects on our physiology, our health. They can be the underlying cause of chronic anxiety because they're always living in the upset, the threat that they once experienced, and it has never been put to rest. And they don't know that they're actually now physically safe and emotionally okay. So that's a little bit about it. The last thing I'll say is just wanting to point out that in this kind of depth practice work, it goes beyond what we name empathy or empathizing with another or ourselves. But the empathy, warmth, and resonance is the energetic matrix for working with transformational process work, transformative process work. That is the matrix in which everything happens, because these parts respond really well to that. So that having been said, I'd like to invite Colleen. Colleen, would you just say a little bit about what is present for you that you'd like us to work with today?
I'd like to face a dilemma that I have about writing emails. And any kind of written communication,
mm-hmm.
it's
right.
very hard for me to complete a communication and actually send it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that recently when a friend's father died and I hadn't seen her in a while and I haven't sent a card for it yet, although I signed a card somebody else presented and then I sent it to her. and I'm agonizing over a current email that I'm trying to write to a committee that I'm part of, just explaining some things that I've encouraged the adoption of. But we won't have a committee meeting, so I'm just trying to explain. But it's agonizing.
Right. So you sit down to write something to someone. This is, I take it, has happened many times.
Many times.
Many
Almost
times.
Every time I write an email.
So if you just recall any one of those times, or just generically.
Or just this one that I'm trying to write right now.
Yeah, that would be great. Just the one you're trying to write right now. Just tune into your physical body. I think here you are. I assume you're sitting in front of a computer and you're wanting to write. What is going on? What sensations are you aware of in your physical body? Or emotions?
I'm aware of excitement because I really want to get across what I have to say. It's really, I'm eager. There's an eagerness.
Right.
And there's also, as I continue to write, I'm sensing a, just kind of a hopelessness that I'm, I want so much to be aware of everyone that I'm writing this to and each of their possible concerns. Like the one person might have this kind of thought, with this kind of question. Will I answer that person's question adequately? But this other person may have this kind of reaction out of our history together. Will that be adequate to attend that? And then let me just
reflect that first piece, Colleen, if I may. There's eagerness and excitement. And at the same time, there's a kind of hopelessness. That you so want what you write to speak to all the people that are out there, that and you have awareness that they're different from one another. So I'm wondering, when you experience that kind of hopelessness that you can somehow connect with everyone, are there other emotions present? Is there maybe a level of anxiety?
Yes, anxiety and real fatigue, weariness. There's anxiety, but there's also just
worry. Worry. This means you're thinking thoughts that are worrisome.
Yes. And I notice my body is, like my shoulders are really clenched. A lot of tension in my body. Right.
So, is this set of feelings and your body clenched and tight, your shoulders kind of hunched? Is this something, if you just drop into just feeling that, is this something you're aware of that's familiar to you? Are these kinds of sensations, if you think kind of backward through your earlier life? I just basically want to invite any part of you that has feels this, and take your time and see what just, if there's anything that comes up around that.
Oh, yes. Okay. Not so vividly. Elementary school.
Elementary school.
Yeah. Being scared that I'm not really smart enough, but I'm getting all A's. Yeah. Maybe being scared that somewhere it's going to show. It's going to show how inadequate I am.
Okay. So you're in elementary school?
Yeah.
And what is it? Has the teacher asked you to do something?
Well, just doing my regular work.
And doing your regular work.
Right.
Ah,
right.
Okay. Go on.
And I feel like it'll be okay now, but the next thing I won't be able to do, and they'll figure out how bad I am.
I couldn't quite hear the last
piece. I'm sorry. They'll figure out how bad I am.
Okay. They'll figure out how bad you are.
How bad, how stupid I am.
How stupid you are.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And could you tell us how old you are? Are you like in early first or second grade? Third, what did you just say?
I don't remember. It seems...
You're not sure?
Maybe third. Yeah.
Maybe
I skipped second grade.
Yeah.
So maybe it was third or fourth.
Okay. So...
Yeah.
So you could do one piece of work, but then you were always afraid that you couldn't do the next one?
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And underneath that, you were really, really, I guess, trying to just guess your feeling. Was it fear or was it more like a horrible kind of anxiety? That people would think you were stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure what. I don't know the difference. Fear, anxiety.
Yeah. You just. It doesn't feel good at all.
No.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted. Wish there was somebody I could tell.
Yeah.
I could talk to the teacher, but it's the teacher that might find me out.
So there's nobody there with you that you can actually talk to about this.
No.
Even though you would like to, you'd like to be able to talk to your teacher, but you're afraid she would find out.
Yeah.
So, if you would just say, what is it that you think she might find out? You know, you said that you're. Well, yeah. Just tell me about that. What would she find out about you?
I don't really know. It's just that I have to be smart, but I'm not really smart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't. I don't feel smart.
You don't feel smart.
Yeah, I don't feel smart.
Do you get nervous, like, when you have to do stuff in school?
Because I think I'll fail.
Yeah. Because you think you, the word fail, it's like you won't get it right, huh?
Yes, yes.
You're so afraid that you won't get it right. You have to get it right. You have to get it right. And that is so deep. That lives in you so deeply.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if I'm just going to make some guesses. And you tell me, because quite often I guess wrong. So I need your help. So is it that you want to get it right so badly because you just love your teacher to like you and go, oh, Colleen, she's one of my favorite students? Is it that kind of wanting to get it right? Because you'd really love that?
I do want a little of that. Yeah, I do.
But are you
to turn on me?
Yes, that was going to be my next step. Is something in you is just really afraid that if you don't get it exactly right, something very bad is going to come back at you?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, I just want to tell you that I'm just feeling in my body such sadness for you, that you were sitting there so many times all through school, and you were just frightened that.
Oh, so often. Yeah.
So many, many moments of that. Frightened that if you didn't really get it right, something very scary was going to come back at you.
Yes.
So I'm wondering, this is little Colleen. This is little Colleen we're talking to. That must have actually happened to you, where bad things came back at you.
Oh. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Where I was really scared all the time.
Yeah, at home?
Yeah, at home.
Yeah. What would happen? Yeah.
My dad hit us a lot. Hmm? Yeah. My dad hit us a lot.
I'm sorry. You got hit by your dad a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always out of the blue. We never knew.
So it was really unpredictable. And it could be in response to something you said or did that he didn't think that wasn't right.
Yeah. Never knew what would start him off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I couldn't figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
I tried and tried to figure it out.
Okay, I'm going to just stay with what you just said. You tried and tried to figure it out.
Yeah.
And does that mean, little Colleen, that figuring it out meant knowing what he wanted in that moment and being able to do that or say that or be that?
Wanting to be what?
What he wanted, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So it was very important for you to get it exactly right so he could have it the way he wanted it. right?
Yeah. Yeah. So he won't get upset.
So he wouldn't get upset with you.
Or would
he get upset
with my mom?
Uh-huh.
With my with my older brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Her
so that was
got hit.
Yeah. Yeah. You. That was so, so agonizing for you too.
Yeah.
Not just to be hit yourself, but to see your all the people in your family who you loved get hit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was very, very important for you to get it right so you could keep everybody safe. Is that right?
Yes.
You just... Wow. Wow. And so there was a reason then, little Colleen, you had a good reason for feeling anxious and worried and trying to get it right.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. You wanted to be safe yourself. And you wanted the people you wanted the people around you to be safe.
Yes.
You were actually trying to protect everybody.
Oh, yes. I really did. I really wanted to be safe.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel that... I'm sorry, what was the last?
I really want me to be safe. And then...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then...
Yeah.
I feel really... really touched, little Colleen. It's not just your own safety, but the people that you love, and you made a decision somehow, probably you don't remember consciously, that you had to really be careful and worry about getting it exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Only I couldn't. I couldn't get it right. I didn't.
You couldn't get it right. Yeah. And so
over and over.
So your dad would
everything.
Explode.
Yeah.
You tried everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're in a big... This is a huge dilemma for a little girl. Is you're trying... desperately to get to be, do, say, something that would keep your father calm or calm him down. But it didn't work over and over again. It didn't work. Yeah. And you never knew when it was going to blow up, right?
Right.
When something was going to come back at you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so little Colleen, I want to talk now to grown-up Colleen. I know because I know you've done this work before, and I know that you know that you actually have grown up now and that there is a grown-up Colleen, right? So she's... of course, here with you, since you share the same body. And I would like to take a few moments and talk with her, if that's okay with you.
Yes.
And we'll be back to you very shortly.
And I'm going to blow my...
So, take your time. Yeah, take your time, blow your nose.
Okay.
Yeah, it springs up a lot of old feelings, doesn't it?
Yeah. I'd forgotten.
You tell me when you're ready.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay. So I'd like to switch back to you've grown up Colleen.
I'm here.
And having heard what this young part of you has just told us, how would you feel about reflecting back in your own words so she feels connected with her grown-up part? Would you be okay with doing that?
Mm-hmm. Connecting with that part of myself.
Yeah, connecting empathically. And actually, before we do that, and maybe I would just like to check in, how's your body feeling right now, right in this moment now?
I'm feeling a lot more relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Has some of that of that clenching feeling shifted somewhat?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it has shifted,
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Being able to cry and have you hold that pain with me.
Yeah.
Relaxing. Let me get the
tension. Yeah.
Release.
Yes. Yes. And this little child, Colleen, she was alone with this for a very...
Huge. Many decades.
Yes, well, I will not say almost it must for her have felt like forever.
Mm-hmm.
This was on her forever. So, just take your time and, from all the things that she's shared, what would you like to say back to her empathically?
Mm-hmm. What I'd like to say back to you, this little part of me, is I get that it's so hard for you to be in school where you enjoy being, that you were scared all the time, even though you enjoy being there, that you were wondering whether you were smart, and the only reason that question came up was that you were not able to make things change at home. Nobody could make it change at home. You were just being a child in complete innocence. You were doing absolutely the best you could possibly ever do. And that was all you needed to do. You were perfect. You were doing
so, Colleen.
The only work you could do.
Yeah. That's really beautiful. I want you to just check with how is she feeling hearing you say these words to her, really acknowledging that she was doing the best that she could do and that she was just fine the way she was. How's she feeling? Is she able to receive that?
There's a little bit of her that's saying, it wasn't enough because it didn't matter. It didn't do the job.
Yeah. So let's empathize with that. Do you want me to empathize or would you like to carry on?
Would you speak to that?
Yeah. Sure. So you heard... I'm speaking now to little Colleen. You heard what grown-up Colleen said, but there's a part of you that's going, but, it didn't really work. So it was not good enough. Is that the feeling?
Yeah.
Is that where the hopelessness comes from?
Yes.
It's just like no matter how hard you tried, it never really worked at home. And so you carried this sense of hopelessness that you could ever respond in a way, express yourself in a way that would transform your home into a place that was safe for everybody.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah.
I really wanted that.
Yeah.
And I really am angry because it wasn't my job.
Yes, I'm so glad you said that. I'm not sure which one of you said that, the little one or the grown-up Colleen, but I am happy that you may be both aware of that, but that really was not your job. That is not the child's job. And so I think both grown-up Colleen and I, as me, Susan, would like to say to you, little Colleen, that is over.
Mm-hmm.
That is a long time ago that this happened.
Oh.
A very long time ago. Yeah. And with grown-up Colleen, she doesn't live in that home anymore. And you don't either. This part of you might have still been there. But we're going to just invite you to come fully into Colleen's. And that's over.
Oh,
and you are safe now. Yeah?
Oh, my God.
Well,
I just got this huge flash. Like I'm still trying to please people.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
It's not just that you're just not, and because it had a purpose. Please them so you could survive.
That was what it was all about. It's just surviving.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And who cares now?
Oh. Truthfully, I care. I want you to continue surviving because
it doesn't matter how I write an email.
No. Yeah, you got the job done. You did survive. You're here.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter how I write emails.
Yeah. So you're having a whole body response to this, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my
God. Right. Really.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Mm. Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. Are you feeling kind of tingly right now?
Wow. Say that again.
Are you feeling kind of tingly right now?
Yes.
I thought so because I'm feeling kind of tingly myself.
Oh, goodness. This is great.
Well, this is great. Yeah. And I see that you, grown-up Colleen, have clearly made the quick transition to understanding how that has been impacting you for many, many years. Every time you sat down, this part of you wakes up and goes, I have to figure out what everybody wants so we can all survive, you know. Maybe you like to tell her something about maybe tell the little Colleen that, and so maybe you'd like to fire her and tell her that's not a job anymore. But you're going to give her you're not going to fire her, she should go away, but you're going to give her a new, much more fun thing to do.
Well, I haven't laughed like this in a long time, so I think that I can give you this little part of me, this a job. Just hang around and have some fun.
We
can do that. Yeah, we can get out of the business of trying to stay alive and just hang out and have fun. Yeah.
Yeah. And be able to laugh.
Do whatever you need.
Yeah. And write emails and do the best you can with it. And after that, it's their problem how they react. Yeah, because they're not going to come after you. Yeah.
Well, I've also wanted just to be able to let compassion flow. And
how beautiful.
And it
hasn't
been so easy. when I'm fighting for my life.
Yeah. Wow. Yes, that's beautiful. So when you have been past tense, unknowingly, mm-hmm. little Colleen has been fighting for your life. It shuts down that natural flow of compassion.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I think she's a lot more relaxed now. I'm holding
her
right behind me here. Just
my
full connection.
Well, I thank you both, little Colleen and grown-up Colleen. And I'm wondering, I did just look at the clock, and we have about 15 minutes. So does
Mine
this
complete,
feel like
yes.
you
a
feel
great time to stop? Thank you so much.
Okay. Yeah. So, but Colleen, don't go anywhere, because what the next piece I'd like to just check in with you.
Okay.
Take a couple of seconds and thank little Colleen and say goodbye for now. You know,
we
don't just leave her hanging.
No,
she knows.
Right,
she knows you'll be back. She's right there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Beautiful. Okay. So before I open this up to maybe having the opportunity to hear from a few people who have been listening, I just wanted to check with you, Colleen, to see, other than what you have already shared, is there anything else about the process? I'm just checking. You may not have anything. But if you do, I'd love to. Yeah.
Not right now. I think that's complete.
Good.
I have no loose ends or questions.
Nothing further at the moment. Okay.
Right.
Well, then,
with
much, much, much gratitude, then I will ask Diane if she could open this up. And I guess maybe because we're in a telecall format, one of the things I'd love to hear back from those of you listening is how many of you really felt emotionally resonant or touched in any way by this piece of process work we've just done. And if you are feeling that, would you just hit one on your phone pad? And that way we can just get a sense of you, you know, a sense of whether there's resonance in the group. And Diane, you can just report on that if you would.
Okay, well, the hands are going up, and we have at least 7 hands up.
Okay. Great.
9 hands up.
Yeah, and I'm glad there were some of you that were resonantly, emotionally touched in some way. So we have maybe in the next few minutes, I'd like to ask if there is anyone that would like to share anything. And if you would you please, what number do you want them to press, Diane?
So they could press 1, and then I'll call on you and I will unmute you on my end and announce who can speak, and then please do. So if you'd like to speak, please press 1 now. Ask a question.
Not so much questions. I mean, that's okay, questions, but more like to know, you know, more personal sharing.
I don't see. Okay, there's 1 hand now. Let's see. Catherine, unmuting you.
Okay.
You have the mic, Catherine.
Thank you. I would just like to say that I really resonated with the tenderness and the vulnerability of that younger Colleen, and it touched many, many tender places in my heart that I'm working with right now about the younger me. And just a beautiful, beautiful example of how, you know, of your mastery, Susan, in getting right to that really tender spot. And that meant a lot to me. Thank you very much.
It's Catherine, right?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you, Catherine. I try to let my body take that in and feel the warmth of that and the gladness that, to share that kind of tenderness, the tenderness that I think we all wished we had when we were younger. And really appreciate that. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Is there any other hands that you see, Diane? If not, then I want to say a couple of things about this.
I'm going to put Catherine on again. Go ahead, Catherine.
Okay, thanks. Mm-hmm. I just had one more thing, and that is what another thing I really resonated with was the longing for accompaniment.
Yes.
And
thank you. Yes.
Yeah. How little of that was in Colleen's environment, and I really had a very much of a shared reality around that. So thank you for...
Yeah, and that is such a critical point. I really appreciate your nailing that one, Catherine, because this is something that is consistent. I mean, I've been doing this work now for quite a very long time, and I do not find young children who were being supported. I mean, this is one of the big problems, is that as children, we are, for the most part, so completely alone and unaccompanied in this journey, unsupported. And that actually is a good segue into what I wanted to just say for those of you who might be interested, that it is this process of bringing forward the pieces of this, I will call it pain and suffering because that's what it is, that were carried by the child but not named, not accompanied, not understood, and therefore not integrated, as well as not ended, because in the limbic reality, each time grown-up Colleen finds herself in a situation which resembles and therefore activates the fear and anxiety of this part, the child part comes online and starts living its pattern again. So that's what you were witnessing. And now what's going to happen in Colleen's brain is happening as we speak, is we use the word memory, and I doubt that very many of you really think that memory is physical tissue. Our memory is stored in neurons and proteins in our brain, and it is flesh. And each time we revisit a memory, especially a traumatic memory, and there is empathy, and there is resonance, and there is accompaniment, and there is warmth, there are new neurons added to the memory, and that memory is no longer the same memory. The memory starts to transform, and it has new information now, so that part in your brain is no longer alone. And this starts the process of integrating the orphan, which is the disconnected islands of disconnected islands of implicit memory, i.e., the memory that isn't really fully conscious or conscious at all, starts to migrate now and link up with the cortical part of the brain so that it now is integrated. So I'm imagining that the next time Colleen sits down at her computer to write an email, one of two things can happen. It can have transformed completely. That does happen sometimes, even in as rapidly as we've done this work. But I have also experienced transformative work that happens. It starts, and you don't have to do anything further with it. It just keeps going. You know, where she might notice a little anxiety, she might notice some of the pattern thinking, the feelings that have been present. But then her cortex now knows what it's about. And she can go, little Colleen, hi, sweetie. You know, I'm going to take care of this. We are safe now. And I'm guessing she will have quite a different experience. So that's all I wanted to say. I just wanted to give you a little bit of what happens in the brain when we integrate memory like this. So I thank you for your attention and your interest. I would like to let you know of a couple of things. First of all, I believe that most of you know that I, along with Sarah Payton, have an intensive program to basically work on this level of reclaiming parts of ourselves. It's one piece. We do lots of stuff. It's called New Depth. And up until now, it has been almost a year-long program, requiring three different residential weeks here outside of Portland, and a lot of connection with the participants on a weekly basis all the months that we're together. And we have made a change in the interest of, we know many, many people who have longed to be part of New Depths, but the 3 weeks traveling to Portland, the cost of that and the tuition, et cetera, was more than they could manage. So we have changed. The next New Depths will consist of 3 separate weeks, any one of which is a standalone week of training with Sarah and me in this work. We will have a different focus for each week, and we are. It is then open for anyone to take any one of the weeks or 2 of the 3 weeks or all 3 of the 3 weeks. So I wanted you all to know that. If you're interested in more information, it will be on our website, which is newdepth.org. And the other thing I wanted to say is that I do have a private practice. I'm happy to explore working with anybody if any of you are interested, and or teaching, coaching, the how-to of transformative process work. If you are somebody who works with people and you would like to understand some of this better and get some coaching on doing it yourself, I have done much of that also in my professional life. So those were the things I wanted to share. And we're just about at the hour mark. So I would like to thank both Colleen for her willingness to be present and do this demo, and also so much thanks to you, Diane, for being willing to be our hostess and take care of the call. So I'm going to turn it back to you, Diane, to unmute everybody so we can say goodbye.
Okay, and I'm going to do that. I'm going to unmute everybody. So, So now we're all on mic, and if we want to say goodbye to each other, now's the time. Thanks for participating.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye. Bye. Bye-bye, everybody.